going forward, though, I've chosen this morning my text, which is John 15:26 through 16:15. This comes out of the upper room discourse in John. It takes place on the night of Passover before Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas, delivered over to be tried and crucified. So John's gospel records, unlike the other three gospels, he records this really extended speech by Jesus where he gives the disciples some last words of encouragement, warning, and promise. There's something really beautiful, though, in this upper room discourse, and I hope in the weeks that we are not physically meeting together to hopefully bring some comfort to everyone here. Because there are some really beautiful things that Christ says that are true then and are ever true for us now. On the verge of perhaps the most significant moment in history, the death and resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus specifically chose these words for his disciples and chose these words for us. So here they are beginning in John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness about me, because you have been with me from the beginning. I said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. But I've said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you will remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Now, that word that Jesus says many times in this passage is helper. So what do you think when you think of the word helper? Well, I think, myself at least, I often think of someone who's in a lesser or a junior role. That is to say, I might often think of Mommy's Little Helper, which describes the 6-year-old helping her mother bake cookies in the kitchen, cracking eggs and licking dough off the batter, off those beaters. Or maybe a little bit more than a lesser role, we might think of a helper as someone on an equal level. Perhaps you look to a close friend or a spouse as a helper, someone who you can depend on to tap in and help you out for support. Someone who cheers you on and tells you, hey, you can do this. I want to ask, you think of lawyers as helpers? I know that's a loaded question. First, are they my helper? If not, they're probably not much of a helper to me. If they're my helper, then if they're my lawyer, then, well, are they any good at their job? Well, then, yes, I'd say they are a helper of sorts. Now, I bring up lawyers because that's an idea that actually might help us get a little closer to the idea of the word jet Jesus is using here. He refers to the Holy Spirit as, in the Greek, it's a parakletos. Or maybe you've heard the word paraclete before. Not parakeet, paraclete. That would be a whole different thing. Holy Spirit's depicted as a dove, not a parakeet. Paraclete is what we're talking about. This word was often used in legal settings to describe someone's advocate or someone's counsel. It's where we get the idea of kind of a lawyer kind of role going on. Because the paraclete does more than simply help. They fight on your side. They help protect you from the other side. I think it might be helpful here as well to remember, this is mixing metaphors, I think a little, but in Hebrew, the word Satan literally means the accuser, also a courtroom legal connotation to it. So painting this picture then, if we think of Satan like a prosecution, what does it mean to say that the Holy Spirit's our defense? I think that ought to give us a bit more confidence than having Jesus' little helper on our side. No. Christ is saying that the very Spirit of God is our advocate, our defender. I want to start there, defining that picture of what it means to have the paraclete, the helper. Because this passage says a lot about what the Spirit does for us. And I think often we need to strengthen our idea of what the Holy Spirit is. Because I think we tend to think of the Holy Spirit in a lesser or junior role. We too often think of the Holy Spirit as this voice on the sidelines cheering us on, saying, hey, yes, you can do that. Whoa, don't do that. Listening to Jesus, we see the Spirit does so much more than just cheer on. So what does he do? Well, I think two things that Jesus tells us that we want to look at today. First, the Holy Spirit guides us to truth. And second, he witnesses about Christ. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth and witnesses about Christ. In an hour of quarantine and health scares, we need truth. We need Christ proclaimed to us. And Jesus has provided a helper to do just that. So first, Jesus tells us that this is a Spirit of truth. I think it's important because Jesus has just told the disciples he's leaving, and they're rightly worried and discouraged. What's going to happen if Jesus leaves them? What will they do? Peter says earlier in this gospel, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Most importantly, they're wondering, will they continue to know the truth? They'll be lost without Jesus. So Jesus says in verse 26, the beginning of this passage this morning, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, that Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And then later in 16, verse 13, Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into the truth because he is sent to us from Christ, from the Father. It's the whole Trinity working together to bring us truth. And Jesus says it's important that he himself leaves because then the Helper may come. I think that's interesting to us now. Because we often may wish we had Christ physically present with us, eating with us, as he was with the disciples that night. Through the Holy Spirit, though, we are continually in communion with God and have continual access to that truth. It's important that we hear that this morning. As we are we are right now physically cut off from those we care about. We desire to have someone present with us. But know that through the Holy Spirit, we have the words of eternal life living in our hearts continually. All that Jesus has is from God the Father. And all that Jesus has, he's given to the Spirit, which he gives to us. I mean, that's direct access. And while we may feel jealous of the disciples for their closeness they had to Christ, we have even more because we have the Holy Spirit as our advocate. Not only are we united to God through the Spirit, but we are also united to one another. I admit, this virtual gathering this morning does not feel like unity. I'm just yelling at my computer screen right now. It doesn't feel very together. But what the Spirit of Truth tells us is, and is telling me right now, is that I'm still united with you guys. And we're still united to one another, even though we're separated. Even though our conversation is limited to Facebook comments. In our suffering right now, we are united to Christ in his suffering and united to one another. Secondly, then, Jesus also says that the Helper bears witness about him. The Spirit comes to bear witness about Christ, and then to convict the world, and to speak whatever he hears from Christ. Now, first, Christ says that the Spirit will bear witness about me. And he goes on to say, and you also will bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. Now, in Christian circles, we might talk a lot about testimony, about witnessing for Christ. Let's take a step back, because what does that even mean, right? The Spirit helps us to speak what is true about Jesus. The Spirit helps reveal with clarity what Jesus has done and who he is. That means that Jesus is more than just a wise prophet with nice sayings. He is the Son of God who died and rose again, ascended into heaven, and is right now seated with God and reigning. I think that last part we need more now than ever. Christ is still reigning through this. He didn't die and stay dead. He rose again. He's in heaven now, and he's ruling over even a pandemic. And his Spirit is with us. And along with this, we see that Christ says the Spirit is coming to convict the world in verse 8. Those words sound scary, don't they? They carry with them ideas of judgment, as if the Spirit comes to condemn everything about the world. Keep in mind that he convicts the world specifically in three things, right? Convicts the world in sin, righteousness, and judgment. His conviction is not simply condemnation, but it's a proving. It's convincing. It's showing, as we're talking about, the truth. It's laying all the facts bare. It means that he's revealing guilt that is present, but painted over. That's what the Spirit does when it works in our hearts, right? The Spirit reveals areas of sin and guilt that we had pretended weren't there. Things that we had avoided. Then, it doesn't do that just to bear us down with shame and beat down on us, but he also, what does Christ said, reveals righteousness. In revealing sin, the Spirit reveals that we need righteousness, and that that righteousness is stored in Christ. And lastly, the Spirit reveals that the rule of the world, Satan and all evil, stands condemned. What the Spirit does in convicting the world is show our need of Christ. By this conviction, by the Spirit exposing the truth, he testifies who Christ is to us. And Christ is still reigning and still righteous, even when we are surrounded by death, despair, and loneliness. The Spirit reveals that we need Christ, shines a light into those areas of need, and shows us that Christ is the one who fixes us. Spirit guides us into truth and proclaims Christ to us. So, well, what do we do with response to that? Being aided by the Holy Spirit means that we do have the truth. It also means that we are to proclaim the truth always. And this is where it's important to remember that the truth is not always simply about accurate facts. It is about accurate facts, but I think it also is deeper than just simple things. It's important to remember that this because every day this week, we've been struggling under the weight of finding the truth, right? We have become inundated with information, a lot of misinformation, and we are sifting through all this information to find the truth, to stay up to date on what is happening in the world. Where are the numbers of COVID-19 infections increasing? Where are they decreasing? What is our government doing to help us? What are our governments not doing to help us? At a time of global crisis, we are starving for truth. That's because truth does ultimately bring comfort, doesn't it? But I think a lot of the truth we're finding right now can be painful to hear. I think right now it helps us take a step forward. I'm going to urge us this morning to think of the truth as more than simply the facts about what are happening presently. But at a deeper level, what is the truth about who God is? We need to start there. We need to start with those fundamental things. Because we have the Spirit of Truth sent by God. We have the truth that God is everlasting, that God is unchanging, God is faithful to his people, and God loves his people. Let's not deviate from those truths at this time. Let's start each day anchored in those truths. Because starting from those truths, we're able to proclaim who Christ is to those around us. We are in a time when everyone's lives on the planet have changed within a week. Events, gatherings, services that we had counted on as reliable and dependable just grinded to a halt like that. If you didn't think we lived in an ever-changing world, well, you do now. And it's that moment where we need to remember that God doesn't change. And we need to listen to our advocate, our helper, proclaim to us that God doesn't change. So let's proclaim Christ to ourselves and to one another. The Holy Spirit proclaims the truth that the ruler of the world is condemned. The effects of the fall and the victor are not the victor. The effects of all this destruction doesn't win in the end. COVID-19 does not have the last word here. Christ has defeated death and gives us hope for a day when there is no more sickness, no more fear. This is what it means to proclaim Jesus at this time. The Spirit proclaims Christ as he lays out the facts that the world needs help. And we're to proclaim to those who will listen, yes, this world is incredibly broken. Yes, we're surrounded by pain and threats of death. But that's not the end of the story. Christ has made an end to all of this. You know, it's no small comfort that Christ not only says to his disciples, sorrow has filled your hearts. Many of you are feeling pain of great loss during this time. And to lose the embrace of friends, being able to look into the eyes of your loved ones does fill your heart with sorrow. Things you had worked so hard and looked forward to are now gone. Yeah, disappointment is a powerful feeling, and it's a heavy one. Know this. Christ knows that, and he feels that with you. He knows the feelings that you won't even admit out loud. And Jesus said these words with his own sorrow, because he knew that in a short time he would be beaten and led to a cross to die. Yet he understood that it was for the good of his people. Right before him, for your good, that he do so. He continued forward to die for those whom he loved, because he knew that by the Spirit's work in their hearts, and by his death and resurrection, it would be better. Our world is so evidently tarnished by the effects of sin and death and the fall. Our bodies are weak and frail. Yet at this time, we get to proclaim that by Christ's work, we have hope for resurrected bodies that are free from disease. That through our sorrow-filled hearts, by the Spirit, we can still proclaim the truth. We may still proclaim Christ through our tears, because our Savior has given us great help. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, Christ and Holy Spirit, we depend on you now. We depend on your truth that doesn't change. We depend on your word that is with us still. Bring to us comfort. Bring to us encouragement. Bring to us hope. Bring to us the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, proclaiming to our hearts what is true. Be with the world right now, Lord. Be with those who are weak and right now sick with COVID-19. Bring healing. We pray for rest, for medical workers, for grocery store workers, all those pulled into the workforce to help one another. We pray for those who are lonely. Bring them comfort. Pray for those who are fearful of their own bodies, Lord. Bring them hope that you have, Lord. Restore the brokenhearted. Bring healing to the sick. And bring restoration to this world. And bring an end to this virus, Lord. And restore the unity of your people and your loved ones. In your name we pray. Amen.